Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And joining us again is Master Gardener Jan Peterzelka. Welcome back to the show, Jan.
Thanks, Norma. It's always good to be here.
Well, Denise, I understand that there's a brand new class of Master Gardeners you guys are congratulating.
That's right. They finished the second half of the program. You know, the first part is always the classroom section, and the second part is the volunteer hours. So we're really glad and happy to welcome them in as certified Master Gardeners. So look out for them. They're going to have nice, gleaming Texas-shaped badges, and they're out there in our community. So congratulations to those Master Gardeners and those that recertified every year. Once again, this year hit those volunteer hours, just like Jan here.
Absolutely. That's what it's all about.
You can't just get your Master Gardener badge and then that's it for the rest of your life.
It's not a once and for all thing. And
No. We have qualifications that we have to meet both in the volunteer and the educational hours. And that's great because that's what keeps us on top of what's going on in the gardening world.
So how many new Master Gardeners are there now?
Well, we have about 100 Master Gardeners in El Paso County, plus an additional 25 interns now that are just now starting their volunteer hours. So, yeah, we're hitting all sorts of milestones, and I want to make sure that we do recognize Jan. She just completed 2 years as a president of the El Paso Master Gardener Association, so she's been just a pleasure to work with and certainly makes my job a lot easier.
Thank you, Denise. It's been great. It's been tons and tons of fun. And I'm not going anywhere. I just have more time now to dig in the dirt.
And be on the radio.
That's right.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Well, speaking of digging in the dirt, I'm sure a lot of people may be wanting to go out and maybe chop down their own Christmas tree. And I know the Lincoln National Forest has permits, right, for that?
Yes, they do. It's happening now. It actually started in the beginning of November when you can go out and chop down your own Christmas tree. And it says, according to their website, the permits are
$5. That's great.
And yeah, it's wonderful. And they even have this really great interactive map on what kind of trees you'd find in certain areas. So if you're looking for a Douglas fir or a spruce or a pinon, they have all that designated for you. So take a look at what characteristics you like in a Christmas tree and needle length and size and orientation and all of that, because that's going to add to your decorating motif, if you will, once you get it back home. So I always think about, holiday movies when families go out and take a tree out there. So we are close by, even though we are in the desert. We are really close to the Lincoln National Forest. So if that's on your radar, then take advantage of that opportunity. If not, there's a lot of other things that you can do, even in your own parking lots where you see all the Christmas
tents. Right. But before we start talking about those parking lot trees, we want to make sure that if you do go and get your permit from the Lincoln National Forest and you do get your own tree, make sure that you go prepared, prepared with the right tools, the right size vehicle. You don't want to be getting a tree that's way too big for the, the little mini sedan that you brought out with you or your little Fiat. You want to make sure you got a good sturdy vehicle. Jen was telling us a minor horror story that occurred when her family decided to have a Christmas tree like that for the first time.
Exactly. That was many years ago, but it's a fun memory that we dig up every
holiday. You can laugh at it
every
now.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
All right, so maybe people have a cut Christmas tree that they purchased from those big, large tents you see in almost every major parking lot now.
Yes.
So what do you do in order to keep that tree still looking fresh?
Oh my goodness. So there's a lot of things going on. So these trees were probably grown in a Christmas tree nursery. So they were grown like row crops. They were cut and then tied and then shipped to us. So they're conserving any water that's in there. What a lot of shoppers do is they want to see every tree and they want you to open up those bungee cords or something on there, kind of keeping them together. They want to look at every tree and then find the quote unquote perfect tree. Anyway, so when you get to that point, you decide that there's going to be it's a natural product, so it's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be a cookie cutter. You want to make sure that you take advantage of the service if they cut the trunk for you. Quarter inch, an inch off, because that's going to allow that open space where it can start picking up water once you take it home.
Because it'll already have been sort of calloused over,
correct.
I guess.
Exactly. It's almost like a sealant. It's a protectant to reduce additional moisture loss. So take advantage, have them cut that for you and take it home and put it immediately into fresh water. It's also going to like a lot of cooler temperatures as well. So even if you have that cut and you stick it in a 5-gallon bucket and let the branches open up for a couple of days, it's going to be make decorating a lot easier for you. So you don't
jump on those decorations right away.
No, because you want to let that open and get its full potential, because it may look kind of narrow when you first bite, but then it's going to really open up after a couple of days. Then you want to bring it in. You want to make sure that you always give it a continuous amount of fresh water for them. And the first few days are going to be critical, because that's going to be the time where it's going to take up the most water. The longer it's going to be sitting there inside your living room, the less water it's going to take. But those first few days are very critical. Check it, even twice a day. And you want to make sure that you don't necessarily have to put any preservatives on there. Sometimes they'll sell you like a little supplement bottle to add extender and blah, blah, blah. Don't worry about that. Just nice, clean, fresh water is all that your Christmas tree needs to be able to handle. Because essentially what you're going to do is you're going to pile on lights, which means you're going to pile on electricity, and you don't want to have any kind of hazards in your house. So that's the number one thing, is always safety.
You don't want those branches and those needles to get so dry to where a tiny little spark is going to set it all aflame.
Exactly. So hydration is definitely the key. Also, you want to make sure that when you have your Christmas tree inside and you decorate that, use your ornaments that you can remove. And nothing that's going to really last a long time. We were talking about past fads of Christmas tree, whether that was flocking the trees, artificial snow.
Yeah.
And even Jan was telling me a story on decorating with tinsel.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. My
That's
mother
the worst.
was a
tinsel-holic?
Stickler about one icicle at a time. We're going, are you kidding?
Oh, yeah.
And so fortunately, that fad has abated considerably.
Right.
And I don't even know if you can buy icicles anymore or not. But that's a good thing. And they're a pain to clean up. And it also is not very helpful when you go to recycle your Christmas tree after the holiday is over.
Right. Exactly. And the city's going to put out their announcement here pretty soon when they're going to start accepting those Christmas trees, because we do mulch them in town. It's made available back to the citizens at the collection stations, where you take all your recyclables or your hazardous material on there. So the last thing you want is unsightly tinsel or artificial snow. I don't even think they'll even mulch those. But the live Christmas trees, the route that you're going to go, those are the things you want to make sure that you take advantage of. When you're looking at sustainability, a lot of people are really concerned about how your Christmas trees are, grown or harvested. Really, the number one thing to look at, and if you're really conscientious about that, is to get a live Christmas tree. And the difference between a live and a cut Christmas tree is your live tree actually has roots attached to it, and it comes in a container. A lot of times, the most common ones that you'll see on that would be like the Douglas fir are available as live Christmas trees, and then those can be transplanted out into your yard after you're done with the season.
And pinions are also really popular.
Yeah. Very much so.
Yes, pinions. And they kind of struggle a little bit because of our altitude. They like a little bit higher altitude than what we're used to. But if you find a little microclimate, it'll do okay. But yeah, I think that's great. We talked about that. I have a friend who had a live Christmas tree for several years when they bought their family home. And then very quickly, their property became its own little forest, if you will. So it's another great opportunity to give back to your community, where you can partner with a school or a place of worship and see if maybe they have a place for that Christmas tree that you can donate to them after the holidays.
Because those pines look super cute in their little pots, but then they grow up to be giant monsters.
Yes.
Well, I was going to say, that's another thing that's really important to consider if you do buy a live Christmas tree and it looks great and it's 5 foot tall in your living room and it looks great with grandma's ornaments and stuff, and then you go, I'm going to stick it over here in this corner. And I think we've all made this mistake. You must stop and think about how large that tree is going to be when it's fully mature. So it very well may not fit in that corner. So be very careful about where you plant it when the season is over.
And the nice thing about those is that you can take it out and put it into a landscape, not like the cut Christmas trees where, those have a finite life. They're going to drop a lot of litter in your home, and they could eventually become a hazard. I've never had a live tree before. So if you want a perfect little Christmas tree that's cookie cutter, like Denise said, with perfect leaves, get a fake tree.
Yeah, exactly.
That makes some really nice ones now.
Right. And it's all about those options of what people want to pursue and stuff. But yeah, like pine needles in your house becomes a chore after a while. So I really like that idea of just keeping, you know, the live trees going to be the way to go. And then having that sense of community. So I think Master Gardeners helped plant a tree at, don't tell me, Jen, I know it was the dog adoption place up in Northeast El Paso.
At the animal shelter.
Yes.
Right under Loop 375. And it was interesting. And I haven't been by there in a while. But
I'm sure the dogs enjoy it, though.
Exactly. So there's so many different ways that you can be able to look at that and think about that. And if you know, just do some hunting around and ask around. And if you ever need it, just, you know, call the Master Gardeners too. And I'm pretty sure they know a lot of people that may need a tree somewhere, and they can help maybe arrange that or help you connect the dots.
Well, and I think it's interesting too, because when we planted that tree, we got a call, you know, do we have somebody that had a tree and they needed help planting the tree. So that was where we really were able to benefit. I can't even remember where they got the tree, but we were able to show them how. And it was interesting to look out there because there's a lot of new plantings out in that area. And, of course, it's just right under 375. But you also have to, again, stop and think about where you're putting those trees.
Yeah.
Because it will be providing shade for Loop 375 before they're finished.
Exactly. That's very true. As a side note, the Master Gardener consultants that went out there actually adopted a dog while they were out there. So it was a win-win situation for everyone. So I love those kind of things. But
Paying it forward both ways.
Right, exactly. But if you do want to stop by those parking lot Christmas trees, ask them if they have any kind of branches for sale. Sometimes they'll give them away or they'll sell them to you for a nominal cost. And those broken branches that they kind of trim off on the bottom sides, and you can certainly take those back home and make a little wreath or an arrangement or a centerpiece
as
well.
What are those called? Are they boughs? That they aren't wreaths, but just evergreen boughs.
Over there. Yes, beautiful.
Really nice. And we talked about that, making those wreaths last week. And again, keep those hydrated. And if the tree that you buy is really full at the bottom, you can also consider pruning off some of those bottom branches.
And so, because it loses kind of a lot of height once you kind of place it into that tree stand, and you kind of like those little side branches get all in the way.
And we want room for presents, so
that's right. So,
and for the cat that loves to sit in the Christmas tree. So,
I guess you got to take cats into consideration. I'd never really thought about that, I guess depending on what you decorate your tree with.
Take cats into consideration with the tinsel, seriously, because they like to eat it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not,
not
a good thing.
No, it's not.
It's not a good thing. So,
say no to tinsel.
Say no.
Okay.
You can keep the cats, but not the tinsel.
Yeah, because I don't think you can actually cat-proof a tree.
No such thing.
Well, if you have any questions about holiday plants for the Texas Master Gardeners here in El Paso, make sure that you leave them a message at 771-2354. That's 771-2354. You leave them a message and they'll call you back as soon as possible. And we also have a link to the Master Gardeners on our Good to Grow page at ktep.org. A lot of really helpful information, a lot of great links that we have on there. And we want to thank our guest Master Gardener for today and for the last few weeks, Jen Peterzelka. It's been a pleasure having you back here in the studio.
Thank you very much, Norma. I'll see you in the garden.
Absolutely. And we want to thank Evan Walsh for engineering today's show. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.